Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I would like to review a little bit from last week. Now, we looked at the topic of more pestilences to come, kind of basing that on Luke chapter 21, verse 11 in the New Testament. We looked at various articles relating to possible prophetic significance. And tonight, I want to begin really with an article I didn't have time to fit in last week. And this is from Breitbart, March 15th, recent article, 2021, by Thomas Williams. It's the title is Pope Francis Calls for New World Order After the Pandemic. Well, who could have ever seen that coming, huh? Pope Francis. He's back at it. This is the article. Pope Francis insists in a new book, Things Will Never Be the Same in a Post-Pandemic World, calling instead for the establishment of a new world order. In a book-length interview with journalist Domenico Agosso, titled God and the World to Come, scheduled for release in Italian on Tuesday, the pontiff reiterates his case for the Great Reset, with a shift away from financial speculation, fossil fuels, and military buildup toward a green economy based on inclusiveness. And this brought to mind the scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Just kind of reminds me when we talk about, doing away with military and having inclusiveness and all the different things. I don't know, that scripture came to mind because the Antichrist, of course, will come with a platform of peace, and people are longing for peace. But until the Prince of Peace comes, as I often say, there will be no lasting peace. So anyway, the article continues. After the coronavirus pandemic, no one today can afford to rest easy, the Pope declares in a lengthy extract from the book published by Vatican News. The world will never be the same again. And my note to that is probably right, but not because of COVID. He says, but it is precisely within this calamity that we must grasp those signs which may prove to be the cornerstones of reconstruction. And again, my comment would be, yeah, let's reconstruct the Tower of Babel, or Babel, however you like to pronounce it. Mankind's first attempt to bring together globalism, to bring together a one-world unity, of a one-world government, so to speak. And he goes on to say, let's all keep in mind that there is something worse than this crisis, the drama of wasting it. Boy, does that sound familiar? Never let a crisis go to waste. You know, one of the notable Democrats, I like to call them, one of the liberal Democrats coined that quote, never let a crisis go to waste. You know, no, politicize it, use it to empower yourself. He goes on, he states, we cannot emerge from a crisis the same as before. We either come out better or come out worse. And I would say that the Pope is helping help us all to lead us to worse, in my opinion. We can heal injustice by building a new world order based on solidarity, he says, studying innovative methods to eradicate bullying, poverty, and corruption. And again, I would quote Christ, who said, physician, heal thyself, when I think about the sodomite priests' scandals in the Roman Catholic Church and all types of evil that this particular pope has promoted, socialist, Marxist, globalism, and et cetera, et cetera. I don't have time to go into all the things that this man has proposed. He adds, all working together, each for their own part, without delegating and passing the buck. This new world order will be based on eradicating inequalities and attending to the environment, the Pope affirms. And again, I have my comment. Sure it will. I think of the book Animal Farm by George Orwell. The famous quote, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. That's how this eradicating inequalities in a socialistic state usually works. George Orwell was quite prescient in recognizing this back when he wrote Animal Farm. He says, we can no longer blithely accept inequalities and disruptions to the environment, he declares. The path to humanity's salvation, wow, passes through the creation of a new model of development which unquestionably focuses on coexistence among peoples in harmony with creation. I would say whatever happened to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think that this man is really quite the liar and an idolater, you know, in talking about man's coexistence among peoples in harmony with creation. Can we be that far from pantheism? And I would say also, read a book, Pope, the Bible, and hold off on all the pontificating, which I guess I'm doing a little bit myself. Of course, I'm not the pontiff, but I like to pontificate a bit myself. As a path toward a solution, Francis points toward young people involved in ecological movements. I'd say you better get busy because Jesus said there's going to be many pestilences to come. And by the way, I need to remember to pray for the Pope, by the way, as I find I have great disdain for the man and his policies and his ideas and the evil, really, that I think that he proposes in trying to deceive people that he's doing good. I, of course, need to remember to pray. You need to pray for his salvation as Christians, those who are Christians listening. Remember that we have to pray for evildoers as well as the people we like. He goes on to say, as a path toward a solution, oh, I already mentioned that. Okay, if we don't roll up our sleeves and immediately take care of the earth with radical personal and political choices, with an economic green turn by directing technological developments in this direction, sooner or later our common home will throw us out the window, he insists. The Pope also asserts his conviction the world needs to be healed from the dominant speculative mentality, exactly I'm not sure what he means by that, to be reestablished with a soul in order to reduce the gap between those who have access to credit and those who do not. And again, how about just a little non-speculative biblical truth, other than the traditions of man mixed with humanism, etc., etc.? Christians and people of goodwill should choose which enterprises to support based on four criteria. Francis proposes, namely, and these are the four, of course, inclusion of the excluded, promotion of the least, the common good, and care of creation. It sounds pretty good, you know, on the surface, but really, if you dig a little deeper, it really sounds more like a little sodomite socialism with a twist of the unbiblical social gospel. Right now, the article continues, he says, it is a matter of rebuilding from the rubble, the Pope suggests. I suggest he's going to bring us to rubble, but I digress. A task that involves those in government as well as the rest of the population. That involves those in government. Don't worry, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Have you ever heard that? Well, that's sounds like the Pope's got a plan involving the government. Now, finally, let's continue in with the article. It is time to remove social injustice and marginalization. And then, of course, I would say, yeah, so stop marginalizing and persecuting true biblical Christians in the name of your Pharisaical traditions of men, apostate Catholic Church. Because, of course, he's spoken out strongly against fundamentalist type Christians. In other words, people who believe what God says in his word, as opposed to what men and their traditions say, like the Pope here. He states, if we seize the current trial as an opportunity, we can prepare for tomorrow under the banner of human fraternity, to which there is no alternative. Well, actually, there is. There is actually salvation, and there is actually being part of the family of God through Christ. And no one is actually part of the family of God without Jesus Christ. He said, no man comes to the Father except by me. So the banner of human fraternity is really more like the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God, which is liberal heresy. and it is not according to God's truth and His word of how mankind ends up in a better place in the family of God in heaven. Just to repeat, he says, we can prepare for tomorrow under the banner of human fraternity, to which there is no alternative. No alternative? Because without an overall vision, there will be no future for anyone. It says, part of the Great Reset also entails an end to the arms race, he adds. And of course, earlier I quoted the Thessalonian verse, peace and safety. I won't repeat that. It is no longer tolerable to continue to manufacture and traffic in arms, expending huge amounts of capital, which should be used to treat people and save lives. Except for the fact that God himself has chosen nation states, this is my comment, and human government over world government. That was God's plan when he dispersed all the people who were building the Tower of Babel. So he's wrong again, at least according to God. Against this planetary discord that is nipping the future of humanity in the bud, we need political action that is the fruit of international harmony, he declares, urging for an end to short-sighted nationalism and other forms of political selfishness in favor of multilateral solutions. Let's don't do it God's way. Of course, this is my two cents. Let's don't do it God's way, but rather as every man chose to do in his own heart. That's from Judges. That was the humanism going on in that time. Let's choose the way of Cain rather than God's way. God told Cain and Abel how he wanted to be worshipped and how to come before him. Abel chose the right way. Cain chose his way. And Cain ended up killing Abel. That was the first religious act, of course, as mankind chooses their own way over God's plan of salvation through Christ. Now, this is from a couple quotes, actually, from Breitbart. One from December 27th, 2020, and another one from January 30th, 2021. Someone named Dellingpole. It says, the Great Reset is real. It's happening now and will lead to devastation worse, much, much worse than the Weimar Republic, a German economist has warned. And if you weren't familiar with the Weimar Republic, this was the period after World War I until Nazi Germany took over in Germany, when the German economy was a shambles. And I remember seeing pictures of people using big stacks of German marks, or whatever they were called, the Deutschmarks, whatever that the currency was at the time, and they were using it for firewood because it was worthless for anything other than keeping your house warm in the fireplace. Now, that's pretty strong words, this man said. The other comment, it says, the Great Reset is upon us. French President Macron declared that in the wake of the Chinese coronavirus, modern capitalism can no longer work. He declared this at the Davos summit. All right. Well, those are disconcerting terms, but yet for those of us who know the Lord and who study Bible prophecy, we can be aware that this could very well be yet more and more assurance that other fulfillment of prophecy is on its way and that Christ is on his way. And again, no setting of dates. But I believe in the imminent return of Christ, and I'm looking for that blessed hope of his return at any time. Now, this is an article that it's not a new article, actually it's about a year old, but I've been wanting to look at this for quite some time, and other things have come up. It's still very pertinent and relevant, and so this article is entitled Coronavirus is Bringing a Plague of Dangerous Predictions by John Blake. And this was March 23rd, 2020, about a year ago. Is Bringing a Plague of Dangerous Predictions. Okay, I said that. Now, and this is from CNN, which I would say is the least trusted name in news. A little parody there on my part. But anyway, this article I will read a bit. It says, in the summer 2008, an elderly psychic who claims she started receiving premonitions at the age of 5 published a book that contained an ominous prediction. In around 2020, a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe, attacking the lungs and the bronchial tubes and resisting all known treatments, it said. Almost more baffling than the illness itself will be the fact that it will suddenly vanish as quickly as it arrived, attack again 10 years later, and then disappear completely. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen in 10 years, and I wouldn't recommend trusting in psychics anyway. But this is from page 250 and 251 of her book, which is, I'm going to give you that title right now. The article continues, "The prediction faded from public memory, and the book's author, Sylvia Brown, died in 2013. But the coronavirus pandemic has brought new attention to Brown's book, End of Days, Predictions and Prophecies About the End of the World. It shot up to number 2 on Amazon's nonfiction chart, that was a year ago, and physical copies are now selling for hundreds of dollars." Well, I'm sure glad I still have mine, folks. Actually, I am glad I have it because I've used it for researching the podcast and the next few podcasts, I believe. A lot of information that I want to share with you in exposing psychics in general and Sylvia Brown in particular, and discernment insights that we can learn from how deceivers operate, like Sylvia Brown. Anyway, government and public health officials, and we'll look a little bit more, as I say, later at this book. Government and public health officials have issued all sorts of guidelines to help people protect themselves against the spread of COVID-19. But there's another contagion that experts seem helpless to stop. The plague of prophets warning that coronavirus is a sign we're at the end of days. There's something about pandemics that cause panic people to empty their minds along with supermarket shelves. Countless doomsday warnings, like Brown's prediction, are spreading online, blending coronavirus fears with everything from political paranoia about a one-world government controlled by the UN. Oh, can you imagine that? Well, gee, that could never happen, could it? To Australian wildfires and swarms of locusts in Africa. If you haven't figured it out, I'm definitely going to be heavily critiquing this article. It's a pretty long article, but we're going to segue in a minute to look at the book that they referenced by Sylvia Brown, as I said. But anyway, so you'll see where I'm going down the road. What drives these doomsday prophets? Many include wildly inaccurate readings of the Book of Revelation. Often these pandemic prophets end their predictions with sign-offs such as, "If you don't have a Bible, buy one." Maybe it's no wonder some people are stocking up on guns and ammo. But some who study religion and prophecies for a living, I like that, some who study religion and prophecies for a living, say it's time for these social media prophets and psychics to take a self-enforced quarantine. Like we should trust these people who study religion and prophecies for a living. I mean, I know men of God who teach the Word of God, who even write prophecy books, and maybe some of them write them because they want to make money, but I think many of them write them because they want to get out God's truth. So, you know, kind of calling the pot calling the kettle black here, I think, when they make that statement. Those who study religion and prophecy say it's time for these prophets and psychics to take a quarantine. And of course, we would be better off if the psychics took a quarantine. But anyway, I digress. Doomsdayers are harming people's spiritual and psychological health, they say. And again, I find that insulting. I don't claim to be a Bible prophecy expert. I certainly am not a Bible I'm certainly not a prophet, as one deluded woman claimed that I claimed to be. But I find it insulting to compare real Bible prophecy teachers to psychics and to elevate, again, these hirelings, you know, those who study religion and prophecies for a living. And so I guess I've beaten that drum long enough. Now, let's take a look at Brown's book. And now the book itself, the title of the book is End of Days, Predictions and Prophecies About the End of the World. And on the back of the back cover, at the very top, in bold letters, it says the apocalypse, the rapture, the end of days. And of course, that's a real, that'll really catch your attention. It's an attention getter and a sensationalist way to catch your attention. And it's what oftentimes New Agers and occultists love to take biblical terms, like the apocalypse, like the rapture, the end of days, and then they like to put their spin on it, and, of course, their unbiblical, counterfeit prophetic view of it, which is, of course, what she does throughout this book, among other things. So I just wanted to get that in there. Now, let's take a further look here. Now, in chapter 5 of her book, the prophets speak on the end of days, and she mentions several of what she considers to be prophets. And of course, I'm only going to pick out a few, just for the information, for your information, some of the more well-known and popular false prophets and psychics of our days over the years. Most of these actually pretty contemporary, within the last 150 years or so, I'd say, or maybe 200 max. But anyway, the first one I want to mention is Edgar Cayce. He's from Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And from her book, she says, "There are few psychics, prophets, clairvoyants who have fascinated me more and whose body of work I found more compelling than Edgar Cayce." His life began in 1877. He was a Kentucky farm boy whose formal education ended with grammar school. And by the time of his death in 1945, he'd gained unsolicited worldwide renown as the sleeping prophet, accomplishing healings, spiritual and metaphysical dictations and prophecies while in a deep, self-induced trance-like sleep, none of which he was able to recall when he awoke. His gifts of prophecy and clairvoyance appeared without warning. One day in 1923, Cayce, who was still continuing his photography career at the time, happened to meet a printer named Arthur Lammers in the course of his work. Lammers was mesmerized by the world of metaphysics and by Casey's gift, and he asked for a reading unlike any Cayce had done before, a reading in which, while Cayce was under, Lammers would ask him questions about life, death, the afterlife, the nature of the soul, the future, anything that occurred to him along those spiritually oriented lines, to see what Cayce's sleeping mind would answer. That was the inception of more than 2,000 sessions that came to be called life readings, in which Cayce discussed the metaphysical aspects of his clients' lives and of life in general. The philosophies he offered, with profound expertise and depth, were completely contrary to his conservative Protestant upbringing. I'd say that's an understatement. But finally, through these readings, he arrived at an inescapable belief in reincarnation and an awareness that his answers were coming not from him, but through him. He was sure of his being given information from the subconscious minds of his subjects, and I would say I'm sure that he was actually receiving information from deceiving spirits or demons. And he also felt that he was getting information from the Akashic records, the collective infinite memories and histories of every thought, moment, word, and event in the eternity of the universe. And I would say it's sort of a psychic internet, you know. So he was surfing the Akashic records, the psychic internet, to get this information, folks, but not really. It was coming through seducing spirits. In his lifetime, Edgar Cayce accomplished more than 14,000 readings, and transcripts of those readings have provided the foundation of more than 300 books about his work. Inevitably, many of those readings involve the future of humankind, of this planet, and of an eventual apocalypse, or I would say a counterfeit apocalypse, of course. Cayce predicted a series of natural disasters, wars, economic catastrophes, and great civil unrest, all of which will pave the way for the kingdom of God to rule the earth, with sacred peace and enlightenment thriving throughout humanity. Essential to the prophecies about cataclysmic events was Cayce's belief that these events could be avoided if humankind would only change its ways. And I've observed many other New Age occultic false prophets like Cayce say the same type of thing, that these prophecies can be changed, you know, if people would change. And that's not true, of course. Prophecies, he believed, have the potential to be enormously useful if people will respond to them as warnings rather than messages of inevitable, irreversible futility. And I would say that judgment is inevitable because God cannot lie. And it's written in his word that judgment is coming. But personal judgment can be avoiding by turning to and trusting in Christ. And that's, my friend, good news. So some of his visions for the future and the second coming included, predicted in the late 2020s, a shift in the Earth's poles around the year 2000 due to changes in the Earth's surface. NASA confirms that in 1998, as polar ice caps melted, ocean currents began flowing toward the equator, which contributed to a continuing change in our planet's magnetic field. Now, let me just say that false prophets can sometimes make prophecies that come true. But God's estimate of a true prophet in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, and I'll quote it later, is requires 100% accuracy. Otherwise, they're a false prophet. And here's an example of something along that line. If there are, he says, are greater activities in Vesuvius or Pelée, these volcanoes, and I say if, that's my comment is if, I'd say not much of a prophet if you're saying if there are greater activities, then if there's greater activities in these areas than in the southern coast of California and the areas between Salt Lake and the southern portions of Nevada, we may accept within the 3 months following the same inundation by the earthquakes. But there are to be more in the southern than the northern hemisphere. So, you know, that disclaimer, if, you know, I don't remember any of the true prophets saying, if saith the Lord. It was more like, thus saith the Lord. So that should be a little red flag for you there concerning Edgar Cayce, regardless of whatever lying signs and wonders the devil did through him. Land will appear in the Atlantic, he said, the lost continent of Atlantis, and the Pacific, the lost continent of Lemuria, and what is the coastline now of many a land will be the bed of the ocean. Even many battlefields of the present will be ocean, will be the seas, the bays, the lands over which the New World Order, there's an interesting choice of words, will carry on their trade as one with another. The earth will be broken up in the western portion of America. The greater portion of Japan must go into the sea. Kind of waiting on that one. Portions of the now east coast of New York, or New York City itself, will in the main disappear. There will be another generation, though, here. While the southern portions of Carolina, Georgia, these will disappear. I wouldn't hold my breath on these, folks. I would, you know, turn to the Bible and look to God's truth and his prophetic truths, of which you can trust in. But these are all mimicking. These are all counterfeiting. And you find this in so much of the psychic New Age occultic literature. And I'm going to wrap it up, I think, for today. And then we will continue to look at Edgar Cayce and other false prophets that Sylvia Brown looked up to the next time we gather, if we're still here and the Lord hasn't taken us home. God bless you all. Good night.